a member of the World Golf Hall of Fame. He won the U.S. Amateur and more than 20 years on the PGA Tour. Well, there's 20 years spanning his first victory and his last, 21 of them in all, including the 77 PGA. He's Lanny Watkins. Lanny, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John. Nice to be with you. Hope you're well.
I'm safe. I'm far enough south to be safe. So are you, as it turns out. But there's a lot of people in peril tonight, and we certainly want to keep all those folks in mind. You were in San Antonio this past week where David Frost edged out Bernhard Langer. How are you liking being back in the booth with the Golf Channel?
You know, it feels good. It's, my back has, stopped me from playing, so I'm out because of that. Six back surgeries in 5 years has pretty much taken away any, competitive stuff. I can still play socially, but it's nice to be back. It's nice to be around the game, around the guys, and back traveling, doing stuff that I did for, heck, almost 40 years now. So it's kind of fun. And I'm talking about guys that I've played with since I've been 16 years old. So, a lot of us go back a long way.
Well, is there any trepidation there? About, saying something a little bit harsh about somebody that you've known for that long?
Nah, they've always been wide open, and I've always been kind of wide open, so I don't think there's any problem there. The one thing I've always been is, pretty honest in what I talk about, what I've said over the years, and, these guys know me and know that I'll probably say something, but it's not, nothing's mean spirited. If I say something, it's just kind of matter of factly about what's going on and what kind of decisions they might have made or didn't make, and club selection. Sometimes it's just as simple as saying that was a really poor shot or poor decision. So and at least I've been in the position that I've made enough of those mistakes myself, and I understand kind of what they're trying to do.
Well, no question about it. And no matter how successful you've been in your career, when you're in contention on Sunday, sure, you can rely on those experiences, but that doesn't mean you're always going to pull it out. Only one guy gets to hold the trophy at the end of the day.
Well, there's no question. And there are a lot of guys that, just like yesterday in the playoff, you had two guys who were really good players and playing well, both shot 66, both had chances during the day to, to really, put it a little deeper and take control and didn't. Frosty escaped with a couple of loose shots and then actually tightened it up at the end and played very well. Bernhard was solid all week and really never had the number of putts go in he normally does. I thought those were really hard greens to make a lot of putts on. The only guy I saw really making a lot of putts last week was David Frost. And it gets down to two guys. And, when they both played well all day and you get sudden death, you felt like somebody was going to win it with a birdie. They were both playing the kind of golf it was going to take better than par. And 18 was a difficult hole. It was, driver 7-8 iron to a very, very tough hole location. And David hit a beautiful shot the second time around, about 10, 12 feet, and made the putt.
Yeah, it was fun. Actually, I flipped it on yesterday evening and watched it. And, I know all those guys too and was fortunate enough to get to spend some time with them. And to me, it's a very entertaining tour to watch. And I love your addition on the coverage because I think you make it even better. And I think it was a great hire. You don't really need to comment on that, but I think you're going to do a fantastic job.
Well, thank you very much. It's fun. And also, I get to work with John Mahaffey up there. And, John and I go back. We were in the same Q school in fall of 1971. And, John beat me by a shot to win an NCAA championship. And, he's a former PGA champion as well and players champion. So, we go back a long way together, won a lot of the same tournaments, have the same views. And it's kind of cool because we've found ourselves bouncing stuff off each other, which – he'll have an idea and say something to me, then I come right back. And sometimes an idea or a statement leads to better conversation, more interplay between us, which I think, does make it a little bit more entertaining.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I think that there's an awful lot to be said. I want to take you on a short trip down memory lane. There's so many things that I want to cover with you, and I know that you don't have all night. I want to take you all the way back to Las Vegas 40 years ago and – that first win on the PGA Tour, and you're staring at the king. You're staring the king right in the eyes coming down the stretch. What do you remember about that?
I remember a lot about that day. The last hole was pretty interesting. Number one, Arnold Palmer at that time was not real happy with me because I left Wake after 3 years, and I was on a scholarship that he funded. So he wasn't exactly excited that I left school, and then I cost him another victory. So that was from my standpoint, that was kind of cool. But I was playing in the group in front of him with Art Wall next last group. And I remember I had about a 6 or 7 footer for birdie at 18, was a par 5. And while I'm standing over that putt, Arnold hit into me. He hit driver off the fairway trying to reach the hole in 2. It rolled up onto a false front. The people started yelling and screaming around the green. I had to back off my putt. His ball rolled back down off the front edge. I missed the putt, and he took 3 from the front edge, and I won. That's one of the things that I really do remember. The other thing that I remember is I have a picture of me receiving my check, first place check. I think it was for the grand total of $26,000. and handing me the check was Del Webb, who was the first person to do all the construction in Las Vegas, and Miss World at the time, Linda Carter, who later became Wonder Woman. So how about that one?
That's fantastic. And she was something back then. We're going to
got my attention. She towered over me.
And obviously you played well. Then you get to Pebble Beach in 1977, and it had been a couple of years since you played, obviously, the way that you knew you could play. What do you remember about that PGA?
Well, I the funny thing is I was non-exempt. You know, back in the old days, we had top 60, and I had missed the top 60 the year before in 76. I had gallbladder surgery in December of 74 and really didn't play well in 75 or 6. And that's back when gallbladder surgery was 2 weeks in the hospital and the whole deal. And, you know, today it's done laparoscopically, and I think you can play the next week. But regardless, it took me a couple of years to get my swing back, get to feeling good. And 77, I'd had a good year. I'd been runner-up once or twice in tournaments and was well inside the top 60, having a nice year. And I had been close a couple of times. And I went into Pebble playing very, very well. And I just stayed right around the lead all week. I actually played with Littler the third round when he kind of distanced himself from the field a little bit. And my goal the last day was really to finish in the top 8, because the top 8 got in the Masters the next year. So I was in good position to do that, and I eagled both par 5s on the front nine at Pebble the last day, 2 and 6. I hit 2 iron at the second hole, 6 feet, and 4 wood at the sixth hole, 6 feet, and made 2 eagles. And my only birdie of the day came at 18 when I needed to make birdie at that point to tie Littler. He was behind me, had made some bogeys. And I was I remember the yardage. I had 92 yards the hole at 18. And, the big scoreboard at 18 on Pebble is right behind the green. And they changed Gene's score right before I was ready to hit my shot to the green. And to the point that if I make 4 here, I will be tied with him. And he's still got, 17 and 18 to play. And I hit it about 18 inches from the hole. And I was playing with Don January and Leonard Thompson in that group. And, I giggled this putt in. It went in the side door. It was not a very well-struck putt. I was getting a little nervous all of a sudden. It just hit me all at once. And Leonard looked at me and just shook his head. I remember that distinctly.
Someone else that you've undoubtedly played an awful lot of golf with. I mean, you beat Tom Kite in the finals of the U.S. Amateur, for goodness sake. I mean, this was a pretty cool group of guys that came up together.
You're right. We had a great bunch of guys. I mean, just my qualifying school alone is, Tom Watson, David Graham, John Mahaffey, Leonard Thompson, Steve Melnick, Bruce Fleischer. I mean, there's 3 U.S. Amateur champions in 1 qualifying school. Sam Adams was in that school, with North Carolina boy who won on tour. Alan Miller, who won on tour, was in that school. And just a very, very, successful school that came out of there in the fall of 71. So a lot of guys that I go back and play, amateur golf days and played a lot of golf with. Billy Kratzert, who's, doing some announcing right there, was there at Georgia, and gosh, just so many guys that played very, very well for a long time.
Lenny, I want to switch gears to the Ryder Cup because it's still, I think, on a lot of American golf fans' minds. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Larry Nelson, reaching back out to Larry Nelson and possibly making him a captain. Mark O'Meara's name's come up. So has, you know, David Thoms. The names come up, you know, pretty much constantly. Your situation was interesting in that you'd played on every team for 15 years until, and then all of a sudden you were the captain. That was an interesting philosophical decision, I thought, by the PGA of America. What was that experience like for you trying to make that quick transition?
Well, it was probably going to be my last team as a player in 93. I was actually a pick that year by Tom Watson, and I played on every one. The only one I missed was 81, where I had a thumb injury. I didn't play well in 81. 80 and 81, I hurt my left thumb and actually had to readjust my grip to continue to play well. I did make the team in 83, every team 83 on. So, it was neat, and I felt like Tom asked me a lot and leaned on me a lot when he was captain in 93. Had Raymond Floyd on that team, and Raymond had already been captain. And then played on, you know, in 89 and played on the 93 team. The three of us talked a lot about strategy and what was going on, what he was going to do and decisions to be made. And I felt like I'd been exposed to a lot. So I knew the workings and the in and outs of being captain, having been such good friends with Raymond and Tom, and then playing for guys like Stockton, who I knew very well. So I think the exposure I'd had, you know, playing and being around guys, you know, that were really not only they were friends of mine, and we had talked about what it was to be captain. So most captains keep the top players that have been involved in a number of Ryder Cups, they keep them involved in the process. They talk to them about captain's picks, about pairings, about, you know, how would you like golf course set up, things like that. So, Nicholas did that with some of us, and Raymond did, and Stockton did. So we were all involved in things like that, and Watson, of course. So, for me, it was a nice transition. I was ready for it. I was 45 years old when I was Ryder Cup captain. So, I possibly could have had another good year or so left to play, and I was playing okay. But, you know, it was, I think, maybe edge and age and my boys getting older and just being involved more at home with them, things, it life was just starting to change, and being captain was a good transition.
Yeah, I can see that when you look at what's going on now with the U.S., I mean, not being able to get it done. Do we give the captain too much credit, or do we give his influence too much credit over what the players themselves are doing?
Well, I mean, you know, he probably doesn't get enough credit when they win, and probably gets, you know, too much of the blame when they lose. You really can't control it once you put the product out there to play. So, and if you're doing well, and I mean, in Davis Love's case, I mean, he had everything lined up perfectly, and I don't know how anybody can really criticize his pairings the last day. I thought he had guys that were playing very, very well right at the top of his lineup anyway. He had a U.S. Open champion, a Masters champion, and, you know, right at the top, and some other guys who had played very well. I don't know what the problem was there, only because Tiger wasn't at the top. Maybe they didn't like that. But at the same time, it's never bad to have somebody at the end in case something does go wrong that you can rely on. So, I didn't have a problem with what happened there. I just think sometimes the intensity level goes down in singles here recently for us. The surprising thing is we used to dominate singles, and now we don't. I had the same situation when I was captain. I had a 2-point lead going to singles, and my first man out was Tom Lehman playing Ballesteros, and Tom beat Ballesteros, and so we had a 3-point lead with 11 matches to go, as did Davis, and lost 14.5, 13.5. Now, I think that the one thing that tends to happen after 2 days of team play is the guys start relying on their partners and don't take it, you know, tend to take things into their own hands as often. And the intensity level goes down a little bit because you don't, you know, they're used to relying on someone, you know, at least somewhat, especially if you catch a partner that's playing good, you know, then you get a little relaxed and kind of let him do the work. And I think that could happen, John. I don't have any reason, you know, for why they're not playing better in singles. I mean, the guys are higher ranked there. You know, they've got the wins on their side. They should be able to take care of these guys. And maybe it's just the intensity level, whatever. You know, I don't know.
If the next president of the PGA calls you and says, you know, what do you think? Who should we give the captaincy to? Do you have any thoughts on it? Or
well, I mean, I think just in just to have an injustice done, the first person I would say would be Larry Nelson. I mean, you know, and if he didn't want, you know, and a lot of their reasoning for not going back with someone like Nelson is they really want to stay current. They want to have somebody between the age of 45 and 50 has been their, you know, MO for quite some time now. Going back to probably to Watson, I think Raymond had just – I think Raymond was in his late 40s, if not just turned 50, when he was captain. Stockton had just turned 50. So you had guys along those. And back then, a lot of it was you know, the main MO was that you were a former PGA champion or had won a bunch of majors like Watson or, you know, two-time Open champion like Curtis Strange. So – but, you know, I think that's where they went and that's where they stayed. And I don't know, you know, what the reason is that Larry was never captain. He definitely should have been. He could have fit in there and still had, you know, from me and Kite. And then, you know, of course, there's a big age difference there when you go from, you know, down to Crenshaw is 2 or 3 years younger than me and Kite. And then Curtis is another 2 or 3 years younger than that. So there was plenty of time to get Larry in as captain. And I don't know why they messed up, but they did. And he definitely should have been, not only because of his, you know, PGA Championship shot, but because of his Ryder Cup record. He was an intense, great Ryder Cup player.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people have called this show and feel the same way about it as you do. And, I mean, I think you'll agree that of all the people you've met in the game, there's not too many humans you're going to rank any higher than Larry Nelson.
No, he's just a wonderful person. I was fortunate enough that he was my partner in 79, and I still don't think there's been another team that's won all four matches the first 2 days, you know, since that I'm aware of. I mean, we won, you know, two matches the first day and two matches the second day, and three of those matches we beat Seve Ballesteros and Antonio Garrido. So, I mean, you know, that was Seve's first Ryder Cup, and Larry and I took him down three times, then Larry took him down in singles. So, welcome to the Ryder Cup, Seve.
Well, you're going to be relying on a partner in December who might have his hands full with you. You're playing in the PNC Father-Son Challenge, which is back this year. Major champions and a son or daughter, in Arnie's case, bringing a grandson. That has to be something fun that you're really looking forward to.
You have no idea how much I'm looking forward to that. I mean, it's actually forcing me to work on my game a little bit. I've played in it about 4 or 5 times with my oldest son, Travis, who had some nationwide tour status this past year, and that was the kick. Travis is 25. I played at Wake with he was on a team a couple of years with Webb Simpson and stuff like that. So Travis is a very good player. But this year I've got my youngest son, Tucker, who's a sophomore at the University of Arizona playing. And the thing I'm looking forward to is that Tucker drives it about 40 yards by me. He carries it over 300 consistently. He can absolutely hammer it. So I'm going to play from places unknown to me. But yeah. So I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, you could make this a Merry Christmas because he's in school. He can't accept any of the prize money. So you know, he could make you a proud papa that week.
Well, he should. I mean, I've spent a lot of money on that little sucker over the years. He could go out and take care of old dad for a week. It would be very nice.
So. No question about it. I know it's an event. I mean, the guys that participated in it before, I think it's one of the great TV events for those of us who have sons that we'd like to get out and play golf with. Say, hey, look, you know, this is fun. This is something very unique. I'm thrilled that it's back this year.
Well, I am too. And number one, it's really cool for the dads to get their sons to see, you know, what we go through every week, see the pressures of a big-time event and what's going on and how the dads are going to respond and try. I mean, Tucker really, you know, my boys never really saw me play well. I mean, I was pretty much done my any decent playing by the time they understood what golf was and were playing. So it's a chance for me to go out and maybe show off a little bit and show Tucker that I can still hit some shots and make some putts and do some things. And at the same time, it puts a little bit of pressure on them, and get to see how they respond and how they enjoy the situation. I know, you know, one of the things Travis has always talked about, which is really pretty, is who he's gotten to play in this tournament. He's been able to play with Lee Trevino and Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus and, you know, Curtis Strange. And so all of a sudden, to see how your boys respond to playing with people they've looked up to and you know, thought about their whole lives is pretty cool as well. So it's just couldn't be a more neat week for a dad. And I think you know how much the dads like it when you look at the dads that play. I mean, Nicklaus is going to play. Raymond's playing. I mean, all the guys, you know, who really you think that are pretty much done these days and don't play anymore, they're going to be right there in the middle of it playing because they want to be out there with their sons.
Well, Jack and Gary are playing.
I know it.
According to the website. So, yeah, you guys will have a great time. And finally, the Charles Schwab Cup Championship is this week. New venue. It's always a lot of fun to see who's going to win the Charles Schwab Cup. Bernhard Langer looks like if he plays well, it's his. But just about anything can happen. You're going to be on the coverage. Should be a lot of fun out there.
Well, it should be. Tom Lehman can pass him if he wins. I think there's enough points this week, being double points or triple points or whatever it is, that I know that if Tom Lehman wins, he can pass Bernhard regardless of what Bernhard does. Now, Bernhard is playing very, very solid golf. He played beautiful last week, even in the bad weather on Friday. A lot of these guys, it'll be interesting to see who's played this golf course. We used to play the tradition on this golf course back in, you know, 2001, 2000 through about 2005 or something, I think. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, I'm not sure Bernhard played in the tournament there. Lehman used to play in practice out there on a regular basis, so he knows the golf course. So some of the older guys that might be involved will have, you know, played in the tradition years ago when it was there. So I'm not sure the course really favors any one type of player. Having some length never hurts out there because you've got some reachable par fives, I know. So should be an exciting week. 30 players, and I think only a handful of couple. I think four guys have a realistic chance of winning with the points because Lehman and Langer have separated themselves so well.
Yeah, Langer, Lehman, Calcavecchia. David Frost is obviously playing well. Freddie's in the field. Kenny Perry, Jay Haas, who I know you know extremely well. It should be an awful lot of fun, and we'll be watching.
Well, thanks, John. Yep, I'm looking forward to it. I'm leaving for Scottsdale tomorrow. It's nice in Dallas, but I checked the forecast, and it's going to be mid-80s in Scottsdale all week. Sounds perfect. Not even a chance to rain any day, so I'm looking forward to the week.
Well, Lanny, we can't thank you enough for the time. This has been great. I want to get you back on sometime soon. I want to hear your opinions on belly putters and all of those things at some point in time, but I've already kept you longer than I promised.
No problem, John. I've got nothing but time these days, so call anytime.